the aquamarine paradise of the North Coast, now a frozen Hades, a chilling reflection of the wars waged at last movie standing. But upon this frozen landscape, where fire finds no purchase, fury is the only force that can break through. A challenger's blows like blizzards, unforgiving and relentless. A champion's grip on the title, like a glacier, immovable and crushing. At last movie standing, it's not about who burns brightest. It's about who consumes. Whose fury will set ablaze the next entry into the vault, and whose film will be left in the cold.
And now, Binge Movies presents Last Movie Standing, Frozen Fury.
In the red corner, from the dusty shelves of Cinematic Oddities, where forgotten VHS tapes slumber, she emerges. She's the video huntress with a VCR heart. Careful, boys, don't let her killer looks distract you. This video vixen packs a critical punch that'll leave you rewinding in awe. Witness the enthralling, enchanting, sorceress supreme of strange cinema, Lindsay Washburn.
It's so great to be here. It's going to be hard living up to the intros that you give me.
Yeah. It's true.
I do appreciate it. I'm very flattered, but I'll try my best. I don't know how this is going to go.
And now our reigning, defending, undisputed, last movie standing champion, the man of controversy himself, Pete from Middle Class Film Class.
Oh, thank you for that warm intro, Jason. I really
appreciate it. Lindsay, back to you. Why are you so great?
Well, you keep telling me that. And I keep it real, Jason. I keep it real.
The current Binge Movies draft top 5. Eric the Incredibles, 18 points. David, Seven Samurai, 17 points. Megan, Ocean's 12, 15 points. Brian, The 400 Blows, 14 points. Jason, Le Grand Illusion, 10 points.
All right, folks, it's time to review what has made it on to the guest list and the short list before we get into first cuts and all that jazz. From our Criterion Collection episode, Margaret Molly Raspberry picked Seven Samurai, as did I. Dr. D. David Rosen appeared once again on Oddball Movies, the 1990s. He chose The Dark Backward, which Adam Rifkin is very excited about on Twitter. And I chose Kids in the Hall Brain Candy, which no one's excited about on Twitter. Joe from Real Spoilers chose Time Cop out of the collection of Peter Himes films. And so did I. Drew from Real Feels appeared on our top grossing movies of 2004, 10 through 6. And we both agree that it should be Ocean's 12, that despite the flaws of the film, it was the best of that particular week, although that's not saying very much. And you have Shark Tale and Troy on the docket. Sorry, Pete.
Oh, geez.
And then Paul from The Countdown. We fed everybody a swerve. I fed Paul a swerve. He thought he was going to watch Passion of the Christ. Instead, I made him watch the Ghoulies series. So Paul chose Ghoulies 2. Instead of, you know, what do you want to watch, Paul? You want Spider-Man 2? You want to watch one of the best superhero movies of all time? Too bad. Fuck you. You're watching Ghoulies. Ghoulies 2. And I picked Ghoulies 3. I can't remember if 3 is when they go to college. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Ghoulies go to college. They go to college. So they come out of a Ghoulies toilet at a Ghoulie frat, and they Ghoulie it up. It's kind of. So I picked Ghoulies 3. That is our guest list. That's our short list. It is time for a coin flip, and then we'll get into first cut. Pete, you are the reigning defending champion. Do you want to call it in the air, or would you prefer Lindsay call it in the air?
I'll call it.
Okay. Heads, is our patron saint, Kevin Dunn, otherwise known as Milt Englund from Ghostbusters 2, otherwise known as the dad for the Transformers movies, otherwise known as some asshole on Veep, otherwise known as, you've seen him in a bunch of stuff, Kevin Dunn. Tails is our other patron saint of comedy and flavor, Dom DeLuise. Speaking of Burt Reynolds, Lindsay, Dom DeLuise is Tails because he had a big, thick fatty, a big dumpy, and we love big dumpies here at Binge Movies.
I want to see Dom DeLuise do the splits. That's what I want to see.
Oh, one of those, the drag queen drops. Oh my God. Could you imagine Dom DeLuise dropping that ass on the floor?
Oh boy.
So rest in peace, Dom.
Yes.
All right. So, call it in the air, Pete.
Ready. Go. Done. Ooh. Done.
You pick done, which is heads. It's done. It's heads. Pete did it. Pete did it. Pete did it. All right. Before pick your advantage, you either get first word, last word, or what's the other advantage?
It's first pick. First pick.
First pick. Yes. First word, last word, or first pick. What advantage do you want? You want to be able to pick your movie, or do you want to be able to do first word, last word?
I'm blessed on this this showing to have a murderer's row of fantastic movies to choose from. So I'm going to go first word, last word.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. So don't tell me what you're going to pick, Lindsay, because you get first pick.
We got to eliminate them or something.
We gotta do a little thing we like to call first cut.
Yeah.
All right, Lindsay, let's actually start with you since you're going to get first pick. What are the films that you are going to be cutting straight off the top? You got three films you can get rid of here during first cut. You're like, here's the three I'm getting rid of right away.
I am going to get rid of, I'm going to get rid of Time Cop.
Whoa, Lindsay.
Hear me out. I'm going to get rid of Time Cop. It's a fun movie. I enjoy it. I love Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm a huge JCVD fan. And to be honest, if any film of his is going to go into the vault, it's not going to be Time Cop. It's
what
not.
Would it be?
Oh, pick Bloodsport,
maybe?
Kickboxer, Hard Target, Universal Soldier. There's so many better ones than Time Cop, in my opinion.
Hard Target is the best.
Is his ass better in any other movie? I don't think so.
It's always good. It's always good.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And in Bloodsport and some of the other ones, you actually see it.
Good point.
So bye-bye Time Cop.
Okay. Time Cop is gone. Not enough bare ass for Lindsay Walker. What else you got?
The other one I'm going to get rid of is... I'm going to get rid of Ocean's 12.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to get rid of Ocean's 12 because I hated watching that movie.
Wow.
I hated every second of it.
Wow, Lindsay, what?
I love the first one. I love Ocean's 11, and this was kind of like just a rehash of everything from the first one. With overcomplicated things, they use a fucking hologram.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a mess, and it gets annoying. Some of the characters get really annoying in that movie, and I hated it. So it's got to go.
Well, bye bye Ocean's 12 from my short list. What is your final elimination at first cut? What are you getting rid of?
The third one is gonna be Ghoulies 3.
But they go to
college.
I know. But.
And they talk in that one.
And that's what I don't like. I don't want them to talk.
Oh, you don't want them talking.
Jump the shark.
No. And it's not really a horror movie. It's a glorified boner comedy with puppets in it.
What do you have against boners, Lindsay?
I have nothing against boners.
Aren't all boners so comedy, to speak. If we're really being honest?
But the lead in that movie is just so awful and unlikable, has no charisma. And the best thing about that movie is the villain, the dean of students. That's the only good thing going on in that movie. He's hilarious. He's camping it up. He knows what kind of movie it is, but he's the only good thing.
Can you imagine, though, this dude was in The Twilight Zone.
So many great movies.
He was in so many great movies. He was in Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
And then, like, 30 years later, he's in Ghoulies 3.
Yeah.
As the dean who turns into a monster at the end.
Yeah.
Out of a toilet. Well, and gets sucked down into a toilet.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, any movie whose premise begins and ends with a demonic toilet, it's got to go.
I felt like a demonic toilet would be right up your alley.
No, no. Well, I mean, most toilets are demonic, but no. Can't take it. Can't take it.
Lindsay Washburn, fan of boners, not a fan of toilets. Okay. All right, Pete, first cut. What do you got for me, bud?
I'm going to follow up the banishment of Ghoulies 3 with casting Ghoulies 2 straight to hell as well. It's gone. Don't like the car.
Ghoulies 2 is arguably the best Ghoulies.
I believe it is. I agree. I think it is the best Ghoulies. But it's I've never seen any of the Ghoulies until this challenge. And I was looking for more. I was really... I think Jason's excitement about them going to college was just kind of bleeding into me through the internet sphere. And I was thinking, this is going to be a blast. They're in college. Well, they're not in college to part 3. So get out of here. Ghoulies poo, 2 gone.
Ghoulies poo.
Yeah. Ghoulies 2 and poo gone.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What's up next for you? Getting rid of JCVD's ass? You're getting rid of Brad Pitt eating a bagel? What are we doing here?
Yeah. I do like Ocean's 12. I firmly align with Jason in that camp, so I can't get rid of it. Actually, you know what? It's out. Ocean's 12 gone. Gone.
I firmly align with it. Actually, you know what? Yeah. Fuck it. It's gone.
No, I love the movie. Yeah. It's gone. Kill your darlings. Okay. It's gone.
All right, what's your final cut?
My final cut. A tough one. I mean, I like Jean-Claude Van Damme as much as the next guy. The cheeks are inarguable.
That's and it's in a split.
I know. There's multiple splits
across the counter.
When aren't not necessary to do a split, but there are splits being had multiple times in the movie. But there are my love lies in other places on this list. So Jean-Claude Van Damme, you're gone. Time cop out.
Wow. Out. So that means off of the guest list, we are down to diametrical opposites. Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai and Adam Rifkin's The Dark Backward.
Yes.
Yep.
And off of the short list, diametrical opposites, Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai and Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these three films is most worthy of preservation for all time? Even beyond the end times in our no copyright infringement intended vault. We're about to find out next. Lindsay, you have first pick. This is a snake debate format. You will go first. Then our boy Pete, the champion, will go. Then Pete will open up the next round and so forth and so on. So tell us what one movie you think is most worthy of preservation for all time that you will be defending in Last Movie Standing.
The movie, I mean, this was a lot of movies to watch, a lot of different kinds of movies. I mean, you have horror, you have comedy, you have action, and you have a great classic. And after watching these, and I mean, even before these, I kind of knew what my choice was probably going to be. And that choice is obviously Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai.
Woo!
So Kids of the Hall, Brain Candy has been eliminated from cinematic history. I'm sure even the kids in the hall are fine with that. They don't like that movie themselves. I am on an island by myself. I am so sorry to all the other weirdos out there. All right, so Seven Samurai. Pete?
You know, I...
You get first word, last word.
Yeah, I spent enough time with Julio from the Contrarians that I was kind of thinking you might pick Kids in the Hall, and I was got scared for a second.
Yeah. So you don't have a choice.
I know. I have to take the dark backward.
Adam Rifkin's The Dark Backward, where a man in a garbage dump society.
Yep.
This is a film where Bill Paxton tries to perform cunnilingus on a corpse at a garbage dump.
Oh, God.
Unsuccessfully. My joke.
Unsuccessfully, because he gets caught after he licks her
the
nipple.
The director's cut, that was an extended scene.
This is also the movie where he eats a bowl of shit.
Yeah.
During a three-way reverse gangbang with morbidly obese circus women.
It is. That's the movie.
And the guy who grows the third arm out of his back, that's just kind of a minor.
That's the most normal.
He's a straight man in the story.
Yeah. He's the normal guy. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Pete, you get first word, last word. That means you get to go first. Opening arguments are 90 seconds. This is you get to do this uninterrupted. Make the case for your film. Then we'll reverse it. Lindsay will be able to make her opening argument, then so forth and so on. Okay?
Ready.
Tell me when you are ready, sir, and I will tell you when to go.
I'm ready.
Go.
The days we have in this life are more brief than any of us can comfortably come to grips with. The time that we're given is not a given. That rug can be pulled out from under us without a moment's notice. Maybe it's one too many pumpkin spice lattes. Or maybe I've spent too much time in close internet proximity with David Rosen. But everything in my soul tells me that the hideous freaks of the future and the present deserve to see the dark bad word. It's my duty in life to bring it to them. The binge movie's no copyright infringement intended vault, is missing the pure unmolested vision of weirdness that Adam Rifkin brought to the theaters in 1991 through his brainchild with a third arm. It's not the flashiest or the funniest movie you've yet to see, but the uncut skis that oozes from every frame of The Dark Backward is something that I just can't help but admire. Not to mention that the poor, de-evolved mutant populace of the future, who will eventually be enjoying the fruits of the vault, deserve representation. Escapism is great, but they need an everyman with whom to relate. And I believe that everyman is Judd Nelson's Marty Malt. The beat-down, hunched-over, sweat-glazed, push-over cuckold who needs to grow a third arm for people to notice him. I'm sure our great-great-great aunts and uncles of the fallen future will be able to relate, because I know I can.
And time. Lindsay, you have 90 seconds. Tell me when you're ready.
I am ready.
And go.
You know, this is a show that seeks to find movies fit for the vault. Films that are worthy of preservation. Now, what does that mean? What makes a film worthy of preservation? I say it is a movie that stands the test of time and holds influence to this day. There's only one film on this list that does that, and that is Seven Samurai. Its influence on modern cinema cannot be challenged, cannot be tarnished, cannot be denied. A sweeping epic of masterful storytelling and rich characters, universal themes, and the price of true victory. And Pete deserves to pay a price for his latest victory.
You got 40 seconds.
I got 40 seconds left. I think encapsulates it right there.
Okay, so you can forfeit the rest of your time?
Yeah.
Okay, great. With 30 seconds remaining, basically 40 seconds, Lindsay went right at it. Lindsay, you get to go again because it is a snake debate, cross-examination. In this round, you get to ask and interrogate Pete. Ask him questions. Pete gets to answer. The only thing that I recommend is that you phrase your comments in the form of a question so Pete can respond.
Gotcha.
Pete, if we get at the end of the time, we'll give you about 10, 20 seconds to wrap up your thought, mm-hmm. but no gerrymandering or filibustering.
Yeah,
no filibustering. So, the rules. Lindsay, tell me when you are ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, and go.
I said in my opening, a film worthy of the vault really has to stand the test of time, and there has to be value to the entry into the vault, a reason for it being there. What from The Dark Backward tells you that this is a film that is worthy of preservation, that it will, that it stands the test of time. On that point alone, that it stands the test of time.
I would go out on a limb and say that Wayne Newton himself is worthy of preservation. That that alone, making Wayne into the vault, would make my make the future our future and descendants happy. I think.
Can I respond to that, or do I have to ask another question?
You can respond and then reframe it in a question.
Well, because there is a great cast in that movie. I will give you that. There is a good cast, but that's kind of the thimble of punch in the piss bowl of this movie. It's the cast. I don't see anything beyond that. So what else beyond? And also the cast in this, the characters they're playing are terrible and awful. Mm-hmm. And what do those characters serve for the audience, if anything?
I think it's like seeing yourself in cinema. You know, the first time I watched American Psycho, I felt seen, right? And then and then now I watch The Dark backwards, and that's, I don't see myself on the screen, but maybe you know, our mutant ancestors are going to watch this and think, Rob Lowe with a disgusting teeth, I'm in.
Okay, all right, time. Pete, are you ready to turn the hot light of cross-examination around on to the YouTube superstar, Lindsay Washburn?
I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
Okay, and go.
Lindsay, isn't 3 hours? It's kind of a long movie, isn't it?
That's your question?
Yeah, it's kind of a long movie. That's a lot, right?
It is. For some people, it can be a long movie. But what I found watching this movie is that it does not show its length at all. It's extremely well-paced, and that's a tribute to Akira Kurosawa's gift that he has in making movies like this. Because you're along the journey of these villagers every step of the way. You go and you get to see them recruiting each of the samurai and how they come to bond with each other over trying to defend this village. And then you get that insane final battle that's so compartmentalized and different things, and you see the way that they defend this village. And through this 3 hour plus running time, you learn so much about the characters. There's so much rich three-dimensional character development in this movie. You care about these characters. Even smaller, minor characters have development, and that's why we have the running time we do. And like I said, it doesn't feel its length at all.
I don't know. It's just so long, you know. I think isn't it too many characters to care about? Isn't that a concern for, you know, this movie to a casual viewer?
Oh, I don't think so. I have a lot of faith in the casual viewer that they're able to look at this many characters and see a part of themselves in each character. I mean, this movie has universal themes also when it comes to the audience, universal themes of love and redemption and revenge and victory and the true price of victory.
Time. Okay, very, very good. You get to go again for rebuttals. You got 90 seconds. This is uninterrupted. This is for you to be able to rebut anything that Lindsay has said about your movie, her movie, whatever. Okay?
All right, I'm ready.
And go.
So Lindsay talks about these themes of love and redemption and compassion and victory and selflessness that, you know, is portrayed in Seven Samurai. I would argue that those themes are already present in The Vault. The themes that we don't have in The Vault, though, are filth, or disgusting, eskies, sweaty, dripping backs and pustules, you know, a baby hand James Caan puts a Band-Aid on. Like that, the vision of the dark backward being into the vault for all time, for eternity, is a benefit to, a net benefit to society, the society at large that will be enjoying this. I mean, Seven Samurai, it's black and white. Come on. Who wants to watch a 3 hour long black and white movie that's not even in English? Come on. Come on, Lindsay. You know, it's a joke. Seven Samurai, really? but again, you say that the cast is a detriment. It's the punch in the thimble full of punch in the piss bowl of the dark backward. I consider that a compliment for that movie. It's a piss bowl. And again, no representation for piss bowls in the vault thus far. I'm bringing this home. Where it's going into the vault. It's going to happen.
You got 10 seconds, Pete. Are you forfeiting your time?
Yes, I fought for my time.
Okay, all right. one could argue that Hellraiser 3 is a piss bowl, but I will be quiet. all right, Lindsay, rebuttal time. Any argument that Pete has made, you can rebut uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. You can hammer him away. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, go.
Yeah, the vault already has representation of filth that you put there, that you helped. You had a hand in putting there, and I will not stand by and let you pollute the vault anymore. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And the revolting, gross-out comedy, and I use air quotes with comedy when it comes to the dark backward, because it wasn't funny. And I was grossed out through the entire thing. And this movie created a cardinal sin in my book. While I was watching this movie, it slightly diminished the absolute brilliant white light of Bill Paxton with the things they had him doing in this movie. And that is a sin I can never forgive. I can never forgive.
You got 40 seconds. Are you done?
And for the pros for Seven Samurai, we're really going to leave out of the vault a movie that went on to inspire so many movies that are in the vault and worthy of preservation. There are so many movies and filmmakers of today and yesteryear and from the future that will take influence and inspiration from Akira Kurosawa and his film Seven Samurai. And that's my time.
Okay. All right. She's forfeiting the last 10 seconds.
Oh, wow. I wanted to jump in okay. there so bad and defend Hellraiser 3. Chopping at the bit.
All right, now it's time for closing arguments. Lindsay, you have 60 seconds. Just make your final case directly to the listeners around the world, our patrons, our binge lords, our casual listeners. Why should Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai make it into the vault? Speak to the jury. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And go.
Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai is one of the... It's absolutely timeless. Like I said, it speaks on universal themes. It's extremely influential in the art of filmmaking. And it is a piece of art in my opinion. And in many people's opinion. But I must say this as my closing arguments. Pete denied the return of the king from entering the vault, and I take that as a personal insult and a slap in the face to film lovers everywhere, and I have been sent here to destroy him. This is not a game I take lightly or in jest. Hold your ground, bingers, my brothers, my sisters. I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me. A day may come when the courage of binge movies fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of podcasting. But it is not this day. An hour of trolls and shattered arguments when the age of film preservation comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight. By all that you hold dear in the movie universe, I bid you stand, bingers of movies, and vote Akira Kurosawa's The Seven Samurai into the vault.
Time! All right. Okay, Pete, 60 seconds. Are you ready? Speak directly to the heart of our jurors, our rural jurors.
wow, good pull. Rural jurors.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, and go.
Adam Rifkin wrote The Dark Backward at age 19, and after a long career in the Hollywood system, he cites it as his most pure project from start to finish, free from studio influence from his mind to our eyes. Here and now, in 2024, AI has already begun its takeover of the arts. Artistic images created in seconds, scripts generated with the scant few paragraph prompts, and now cinema-quality video footage made by a douchebag with a Twitter handle that includes the phrase AI artist. That could be our future, but it's not too late. Reject modernity. Revert back to the dark backward. Play an accordion. Be a stand-up comedian. Lick a corpse. Have a plus-size orgy. Live, damn it. We deserve that for ourselves. And the tired, huddled masses of the future deserve to live too. They deserve to see pure art, not the airbrushed, motion-smoothed art the Hollywood wants for us. I mean real art, warts and all. Plus, how funny would it be to have James Caan preserved in the vault as Dr. Scurvy?
All right, out of time. Okay. All right. Wow. Oh boy. All right. Well, those are the arguments. That was Last Movie Standing. Folks, if you're a patron over at patreon.com/bingemovies, we have a different prorated voting scale over there. I will post that on our Twitter at bingemovies, let you know. Votes on Twitter count for a certain number of points. Votes on different levels of Patreon count for different levels of points. I will post that when this episode goes up so you know what your vote counts for. One vote per area. So if you're a patron, don't vote on Twitter. If you are a Twitter user who decides to become a patron, don't vote on Twitter. Just vote on Patreon. We've had rankings. We've had reviews. We've had first cut. Now last cut, final cut, director's cut is in your hands, Binge Lords. Which is the movie that goes into the vault to be preserved for all time, even beyond the end times? You decide. I want to thank both of my illustrious guests here today. First and foremost, the reigning, defending, undisputed, Last Movie Standing champion, Pete from Middle Class Film Class. Pete, get your plugs in.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jason. It's always a delight to be here. And the surprise guest of Lindsay Washburn. I couldn't ask for a better competitor than Lindsay. I honestly, truly believe that. So if you like the sound of my voice and you want to continue listening to me gab with two of my pals, head on over to
Lindsay Washburn.
You can find me on my YouTube channel where I talk about good movies, bad movies, and movies so bad they're good, and my extensive VHS collection. And I also do a lot of collaborations with people like Jason and Pete and all other manner of weirdos. Podcasters.
Sickos.
And you sickos.
Hello, sickos.
And strangers from the internet. Yeah. But you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram. It's just my name, and so is my YouTube channel. And it's Lindsay with an A, not an E. Lindsay with an A.
Yeah, the Lindsay Washburn.
Lindsay Washburn, yes.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this. It's up to the Binge Lords now. It's out of all of our hands. We'll see what's decided here at the end of Frozen Fury. Till next time, Binge on.